Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Friday the 18th of December. Hope you're all well. This time next week, you will be tucking into your Christmas dinners. It's only a week away now, and hopefully, I know despite all the COVID, I don't know what you want to call it, fear, scaring, scaremonger, whatever, I hope that people can have as much normality over this next week as possible. I think we all need it after the year that it's been. And I think if you just do things sensibly, I'm sure everybody will be absolutely fine. But yes, only a week to go. Right, I have got quite a bit tonight, and we're going to start with the Christmas dinner. We're going to start now with brining the turkey. We've done the gravy, we've done the sprouts, we've done the potato. The next important element, and all these people say, don't eat turkey, it's dry, because you don't do it right. You've got to get your turkey in the brining bag the day before. It needs at least a good 24 hours. I've got a great big, what you'd call cool box type thing. I get the turkey in a brining bag, cover it fully in water, a whole box of rock salt in there. Name slips me now, but the white and green box of rock salt, that, half a Schwartz tub of black peppercorns, some white peppercorns, some pink peppercorns, bay leaves, some fresh thyme, some fresh rosemary, some fresh sage, and there's something else I put in there. Oh, and some coriander seeds. Put all that in the brining bag with the water, seal the bag in the cool box, pack it with ice, leave it, then I leave it 24, 36 hours. The Everlyn flavours the turkey, moistens the turkey, it absorbs some of that water, and it's what makes the difference. It's what makes it from a dry, bland old meat to being the absolute kiddie. It is a fantastic meat, and when you get it there, you get a nice bit of flavour into it, you get the moistness in it. So you've got to brine your turkey. Buy a brining bag on Amazon, or there's a company called divertimenti.co.uk, I think, that do them. Amazon were running low on stocks. So get your turkey in brining. Bin your beef, your goose and all your nonsense. Get your turkey in a brining bag the day before, and then you just take it out that morning, pat it with tablecloth, what do you call it, kitchen roll, and let it get into room temperature, then just leave it to get to room temperature before putting in the oven. And that's how to do it. That's exactly how to do it. It's absolutely gorgeous, trust me. So get your turkey brining. I don't want any excuses. Anybody eating a turkey that isn't brined, you're an idiot. Put it out the window with the mash for the bubble and squeak, with the flipping bought shop gravy, and with the soggy Brussels sprouts. We're creating a shit dinner out the window. Right, that's that. Tonight we are having the FTS Christmas party. Literally, this is just a get-together. We're just going to hang out, chat. If there's some trading, I'm going to do it. While you were all sleeping last overnight, me and Chrissy spreadsheets, we're going to the cricket next year. And I've turned this now into a full-scale FTS day out. It's gone from, would you like to go to the cricket, to I've now got more tickets than I can shake a stick at. So we are up at 5-6 o'clock this morning, securing tickets for the England-India day one of the test next August, on August the 4th, which happens to also be my brother's birthday and the day my poor old mum passed away. So I'm probably going to invite my brother along. I've booked a hotel. Chrissy lives up there. Basically, FTS are going to descend on Middle Earth and show them how to do things. I've got a load of tickets. A number of them are obviously allocated to people who I've spoke to who want to come. But as part of tonight, I am going to give away a ticket to the cricket. And they're good seats, really good seats, good tickets. I'm going to pay for someone's hotel overnight on the night of the 4th. So that is going to be part of tonight's giveaways. You can come and have a day at the cricket with your ticket and your evening accommodation on the night of the game paid for. Obviously, if you want to come the night before, I'm not taking you on holiday. But we'll have that tonight, so somebody can win that and come and have a good day out with us. So that's that. Chris is going to do a little bit at 7:45, hopefully. And he is going to give away 3 months to his Excel football course, which is going really well. Football course for trading. Obviously, Chris has been instrumental in a lot of what I've done for a number of years now in how I work and building me sheets. He started up his football trading course this year, which a number of you have joined, but he's going to give a free 3 month membership to that. I'm going to do some trading. I think there's two or three trades. Obviously, you're going to have to wait for goals. I'm going to give some cash away from that, which I'll explain in the room. Other than that, we're just going to sit, talk shite, have a few beers. I'm going to be drinking Guinness while I'm doing this. Don't drink and trade, kids. Lovely for people to drop in. Just going to have a chat, answer any questions. I've got a few other quiz questions. We'll do a little bit, few other giveaways. But that all starts at 7 this evening. And just for a couple of hours. We'll do from sort of 7 through till 9. Or I've had enough of you. And we will kick a few people out if they're causing trouble. You know what it's like. It is going to be on Zoom. You can download Zoom. Your meeting ID that you will need is 543-486-9757. Password is 624497. Everybody will be muted on entry. There's a chat box there. Chat. I'm going to say hello and talk to people. And then if anybody needs to say anything or got things to share, then I can unmute their microphone. Obviously, I think we can have up to 500 if everybody's got their microphones off going, then nobody will make any sense of anything. So, but it is just a drinks, chat, questions, giveaway, bit of trading, all very informal. Anybody is welcome. You don't have to be an FTS member or football only. Happy Steve Williamson's going to come in, might put Steve live, let him talk about a bit of horses. I haven't told him that, but Steve's a great guy. So if he got any stories he wants to share, is always good fun. So do come on in. So that is that. That is tonight, 7 o'clock. Again, if you don't have to, it's just purely an optional thing. I just thought we'd have a bit of cheer in what has been a shit year. Bit of fun before we all sort of, our attention turns to our families for Christmas. Right, let's do the preview for the Fußball. Again, not a massive week that's thrown up here, but we have got, starting, Palace versus Liverpool. Palace 6.6. Draw 4.7, Liverpool 1.56. When Palace have been mid-table against top six sides since 2015, this happened on 13 occasions, and they have won 0. They've drawn 2, lost 11. Liverpool over that same period as a top six side have played 34 away, and they've won against mid-table team. They've won 22, drawn 9, and only lost 3. Those actual win odds for Liverpool, the 22 out of 34, equates to 1.55. And they are just 1.56, I think, in this game. So it's probably all pretty much about right. I'm just checking Liverpool's odds. Sorry about that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's pretty much spot on, 1.56. And as I say, that equates to 1.55. So Liverpool 1.56. So I haven't got a bet in the game, but I just have a sneaky feeling. And it is purely a feeling, which may prove way off. I thought Palace did quite well against Spurs. I've just got a sneaky feeling this is going to be another draw, particularly if the Palace keeper puts on a display like he did last week. Against Spurs, people say he let Kane's goal in. Yeah, I know he missed Kane's one, but overall he had a great game, made some good saves. Another angle, 12 out of those 13 Palace games against top six sides have seen a second half goal. So that might be an angle to look for. You know, again, one of those where if you haven't had a second half goal, 65, 70 minutes, you may want to get involved cheaper then. They do tend to concede in the second half against the top teams. Interesting, you've got Liverpool 1.56 away to Palace, City 1.52 away to Southampton. I know which one I'd rather be on. I'd much rather be on Liverpool at the prices. Obviously, Southampton, we've got no data for them in this lofty position of, what are they, third? Been the surprise of the league for me so far, but thoroughly deserved. I always thought Danny Ings was a good striker. But, you know, they did lose Højbjerg to Spurs. You did wonder. I'm sure some people would have had them down as relegation area. But absolutely superb they've been, and deserve it, thoroughly deserve it. You know, I know they've lost to Spurs, lost to United, but they've had some fantastic results, look to be playing decent football. And this is a tricky game for City, who've, you know, been inconsistent. I don't have a betting view at all. Again, I think this could be quite a good game. And I wouldn't surprise me if Southampton won it. I would not be surprised if Southampton went ahead and won it. Everton versus the old Arsenal. 2.56 Everton, 3.55 the draw, 3 Arsenal. A personal view, I think Everton are going to cement Arsenal's woes further here, and 2.56 looks big. Everton are profitable blind, backing them home since 2012. Arsenal, don't need me to tell them, they're all over the shop. Somebody said this week in the chat they can't go down. I think they were saying that about Leeds a number of years back, if you remember. I think anything can happen in football. Of course, I don't think or expect them to go down, but they just look an absolute mess to me. I thought they were piss poor in that Spurs game, which I watched. I watched some of that, the Southampton game the other night. Didn't think they looked great. Burnley, I didn't really see it, but what I hear, they weren't great. You know, they've got to shape it up. And the thing with me, I just don't think Arteta is the man. I just think another one, he's way out of his depth. And good news, Auba has scored. I think Aubameyang scored in his last two games, so he may be back to his best. The old Arsenal fans are revving up now. One of them was an own goal, you fucking idiot. It's so easy, they're so easy. Get the old fishing rod out, throw it in, and there you go. But I do think, genuinely, I think Arteta's out of his depth. I think Everton a good price here. I think Everton to win here at a fair price. Further cementing the woes of Arsenal. Newcastle versus Fulham. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? I was convinced at the start of the season Fulham were certain to go down. Beat Leicester, draw with Liverpool. Some may sound lucky not to win it. Newcastle are the side I keep thinking will get better, and then they completely fall apart against Leeds. What's Bielsa doing as coach of the year as well? What are we in that top three or whatever? What's all that about? Sort it out. I'm going to side with a tight affair and maybe trade the unders. The two, Fulham obviously getting better. Newcastle, you just never know what Newcastle are going to turn up. Maybe a 1-1 draw, something like that. So I think it's going to be a tight, low-scoring affair. That's my view on it. But generally, even with a gun to me, I wouldn't know where to go with that game. Brightonville, Sheffield United. Brighton 1.73. The draw 3.9. Sheffield United 5.7. Sheffield United again took the lead last night. Beat, gone. They got, sorry, I know we got a few Blades fans, and I've got a little, not a soft spot, but a guy I worked with years back, he was a Sheffield United fan. First time I'd ever met one. Who do you support? Sheffield United. I thought, wow, that's a strange old choice. Obviously, he's a southerner. But they're gone. There's no way back. You're done. I'm sorry. You know, people can say, I'll be eating my words. 1 point after, 12, 13 games, you are history finished. Arrivederci. I think Brighton may heap further pain on them here, but I couldn't back Brighton at 1.73. So again, it's a no-bet game. Couldn't find anything in the game whatsoever. Brighton, not a team I'd put my faith in at that price. But Sheffield United, sorry guys, you is gone. Tottenham, we're no longer top of the league. And for the record, because I get all the old chips, and I know we lost the other night. I never genuinely, if people who know me well know I can... I take the piss in there. I never ever genuinely said or thought that Tottenham can or will win the league. I don't ever think that's going to happen in my lifetime. I'm 50 next year. I've probably got about 35 years in me after that. I do not expect to see England win the World Cup or Tottenham to win the Premier League. The disappointing aspect is every time it's what we do. That result the other night, it will have a longer term effect than just the 3 points the other night. I said the week before, I don't think we'll go to Liverpool and get anything. I think getting the results we did against Arsenal, City, Chelsea was good, because if we drop them, because I said I think we won't get anything up at Anfield. But the way we did it, it will have a longer term effect. Tottenham are known. We are, you know,
other fan bases take the piss. We're perennial bottlers, underachievers, missed opportunities, whatever you want to call it. You know, we got our own word for it, Spursy. And we managed to cement that reputation every big game that we have a chance to try and bin it. You know, what is it? 8 FA Cup finals, semi-finals, obviously the Champions League final, League Cup final against Chelsea. We just manage every single time that we've got a chance. When Leicester won the league, we played West Ham in the March, chance to go joint top and joint top, see what I did there, chance to go level on points with Leicester. I think we'd have gone top actually on goal difference and didn't win that game. It's just in them, and I think for Spurs and the Spurs squad, who I say it doesn't really matter who's in charge. It's all very well at the minute, you know, I'm one, the manager's a winner. It's all very well saying the manager's a winner, but the players aren't. And somehow to get that to the players at Spurs seems a real difficult process, because it's similar for me now with Spurs as playing for England. The sort of weight of expectation that the players are on or feel they're under. And then the longer you go failing, the worse it gets. And I'm sure they're aware, you know, it's dreadful misses for me from Kane, Bergwijn, and I sent a text to a few people straight after that, those misses, after the particularly the corner from and Kane missing, that we will pay for that, and sure enough we did. Spursy is what we are. When you look at how the team set up, yeah, they've done well, but you know, they blew it against West Ham. Newcastle, yeah, you can moan about the penalty, but didn't take chances again, you know, should have been 3, 4, 5 goals out of sight and weren't. And it's what they do. And I just don't think in that setup, while the team's better, I don't think there's any enough creativity. I was amazed he played Lo Celso the other night. I mean, he's just another bang average Lamella for me, one-footed. And you can't win games, certainly not enough games to go anywhere, camped in your own half. And Spurs were camped in their own half, not only against Liverpool. Spurs have been camped in their own half for the last 5 games. They were camped in their own half against Palace. I'd love to have personally seen Eriksen in this team. I think Kane having a drop back into midfield and become a playmaker is not a long-term solution for the team. And the worrying aspect for Spurs, and Spurs fans don't like it because they're sort of, you know, everybody gets deluded about their clubs. I'm one who tends not to, but is that if they don't win anything next season and a half, you know, the likes of Kane will be gone. They'll be out of here. Don't worry about that. They will be gone. They're going to want to win trophies. I did this season. When the season started and when we got those 3 results, I thought we've got a squeak just given the setup of the league and the inconsistency of City, the fact that Liverpool have got not massive injuries, but Van Dijk's a miss. But from what I've seen the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think you know, Tottenham won't be within 10 points of the champions, and I expect them to be scrapping out for 4th place behind Liverpool, City, Chelsea. They'll all finish above them in any order. They could finish those 3, a long way to go. And I think it'll be Spurs, Leicester, United. And while I've been criticising Ollie, you know, United are getting results. Maybe Southampton, if they can keep it up. We are barely 30% of the way through the season. Yes, certainly Tottenham will not be. I'll be amazed if Tottenham are in the top 3. I'll be absolutely stunned, because I just don't think they're good enough. In this game, though, I think it'll be a hard fight. I think draw, perhaps 1-1. Spurs are going to sit back again. This is going to be another game Spurs are going to sit back. I don't think Jose is going to change it much. We're going to sit in our own half. Problem with doing that is you get 2-3 chances like we did against Liverpool, and if you don't score them, you're done for, and that's the big problem with it. And Leicester certainly, I think, will score here. So I'm going to trade around the 1-1-2, 1-1-2 score lines here. I think it's probably going to be I'm going to go for a hard fought draw, but I'm going to Dutch those 3 score lines, 1-1-2, 1-1-2, and trade around those. On the note of that Bergwijn miss the other day, I'm absolutely disgusted with the fact that people, I just saw a headline from, I follow Alistair Gold, who's like the Tottenham correspondent in London, and he put something about Bergwijn having to block comments on his Instagram because he'd had death threats. I mean, what is going on? And then I'm scouring Twitter last night late when the football had finished. And Kai Rooney, I see it signed for United, BBC Kai Rooney, 11-year-old kid. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't care who his mum and dad are. 11-year-old kid signing for United. Of course it's going to get publicity because of who his dad is. And you click the article and then read the comments underneath it. It's just disgusting. It's just disgraceful. If that's what the world is coming to, where players are getting death threats because they miss a chance. It's a fucking game of football. Grow up, honestly. And an 11-year-old kid fulfilling what is probably a childhood dream, following in his dad's footsteps, signing for United. The rights or wrongs of whether they should sign 11-year-olds is a completely different argument. It's the fact that people want to use these vehicles like social media to become absolute fucking degenerate lowlifes with their opinions. It just drives me bananas. Absolute fucking morons. Anyway, on that note, Man United v Leeds. Another... Who knows? As I said, United are grinding results. They're up there, if you like. Keep going behind. Keep coming back. I think this is just it should just be an entertaining game. I think they're both going to go at it. Leeds certainly go at it. I think United have got to get some confidence at home. Trade the over 2.5 and 3.5. I think is probably the play here. Let the game get going and then get involved in the goals markets. I haven't got a view on the match. I think, if anything, United may be a bit short, 1.74. But that, as I say, they've been getting results. So, yeah, that's it. Trade the goal markets there. And then West Brom versus Villa. West Brom 3.9. 3.85 the draw. 2.04 Villa. Villa are too short. Big Sam is back. And he is going to get a win against Villa. Sorry, Villa fans, that is what is going to happen here. Just you watch. I think it's really harsh on Bilic. I think West Brom played better in a lot of games than the results. Great draw against City, and then you get sacked. I did think Big Sam's days were gone, and he's all of a sudden back. West Brom fought off Arsenal for his services. And it's written in the stars, the new manager syndrome. West Brom win this at 3.9. There you go. Sorry, Villa fans. I know you're going to... Don't hate me, but that's what's going to happen. Just a couple elsewhere. Lazio play Napoli. Lazio at home, 13 games at home, priced over 3.0 and not won any of them. A lay of Lazio for me. They've drawn 4 of those and lost 9. Lazio, Napoli, lay Lazio. In Spain, Getafe are away to Cadiz, and Getafe have failed to win any of their last 11 away. They play Cadiz, who offers small value. Profitable profile, this match is set up since 2012 on backing home teams. Because we can't, I'm not a massive one to trust Cadiz. I mean, Cadiz beat Barcelona, then get thumped by Celta. It kind of sums up the whole of 2020, I think, how that's gone. A lay of Getafe. So a lay of Lazio home to Napoli, lay of Getafe away to Cadiz. That is me done. Have a lovely weekend. Good luck with your bets. And I will drop, I'll be in there tonight, as I say. Zoom meeting ID 543-486-9757. Password 624497. I will open the doors at 7 o'clock. Please do not come in being abusive or whatever. It just all want to have a little bit of festive fun without any nonsense. But answer questions, do the giveaways, cricket ticket, hotel, full kiddie, Chris's do. So hopefully see some of you this evening. If you're not, I'll sit and drink on my own and keep all the prizes. Have a good one and have a great weekend.